Hilchas Gzeila V'Aveda, the laws of stolen and lost objects. And today's chapter is the 17th chapter, which contains 13 halachas. It addresses primarily the subject of when somebody that finds a lost object actually acquires this object for himself, under the conditions, as explained in previous chapters, that he does not have to return such an object, but is allowed to keep it for himself. Perek Shiva Osir, Chapter 17, Halacha Aleph. As the Rambam said in his introduction to these laws of Hilchas Gzeila V'Aveda, there is a positive commandment to return lost objects. However, as we have been learning throughout the last chapters, there are various conditions upon which a person does not have to return an object, or even announce that he has found an object, such as in a situation where the owner obviously has given up any hope of its return, or there is no way to identify the owner, as we have explained in detail throughout the last chapters. However, in order for the person that finds the object to officially acquire it, as in all cases of acquisition, there must be an official act of acquisition, known as kinyan. This will be more fully discussed by the Rambam in Sefer Kinyan. In this chapter, the Rambam will discuss what exactly must be done in order for a person to acquire this lost object. Now, there is not really a transfer from one owner to another. Rather, it is now ownerless, it is a lost object, and he is acquiring control over this object. Halacha Aleph. Kol metziya shel marnaba, shehi shel meitza. Any lost object that we have said regarding it, that it belongs to the one that found it, he only merits it, he only gains acquisition of it when it reaches his hand or it reaches his property. The law is that a person can acquire an object by picking it up. This is an act of kinyan, of acquisition. And so too, his property can also acquire the object for him, as the Rambam will explain in Halacha Ches. In any of either of these cases that it reached his hand or his property, it becomes his. Aval im ra'a es hamatziya. But if he only saw this lost object, this does not acquire it for him. He must do an act of acquisition, not just see it. And furthermore, afilu nafu le'aleha. Even if he fell on top of the object, but has not yet grasped it in his hand. In other words, he does not have full control over it, although it is underneath his body. And before he was able to pick it up, along came someone else and grabbed hold of it before he was able to. The one that was able to grab the object, he merits the object, it becomes his. Since he has physically grasped it in his hand, he has done the act of acquisition and it belongs to him. The following halacha deals with another sort of acquisition, a sort of kinyan. The law is that one can make a shliach, a proxy or representative, to acquire something for oneself. However, it must be a clear assignment that you have assigned this person to become a shliach, and he must agree to this shlichas, to this mission, and carry out the mission. The next halacha deals with a person who is riding on top of an animal, and there is another person on the ground. The one riding the animal sees a lost object, and is trying to make this person on the ground his shliach, his representative. He must make a clear command which makes him a representative. And the halacha will discuss the difference between zchei liba, merit it for me, in other words, acquire it for me, which is clearly an expression of shlichus, or tneili, give it to me, which is a little less clear. Halacha base. Hayarechev agabe behema. He was riding on top of an animal, v'ra'as es esametziah, and he saw a lost object. V'omer lachavere, and he said to his friend, who was walking on the ground evidently, zechei liba, merit it for me, which is a clear indication that you're saying zechei li, merit, be zechei it for me, that you're asking the shliach to do the act of acquisition. The law is normally that when a shliach does the act, the shliach is in the place of the one he is representing, the mishaleach, and automatically at that time, as soon as the messenger does the act of acquisition, it automatically at that moment belongs to the one that assigned him. And so too over here, since there was a clear instruction to make him a representative, kiven sheik bialei kana harechev, as soon as the person who was walking on the ground lifts up the object, the one who was riding on the animal kana, it gains acquisition, gains control, of this object. Even though it did not yet reach his hand, he is not yet holding it. As we said earlier in Halacha Aleph, that normally it must reach his hand or his property. In this case, the messenger's hand is just like his hand. And as soon as the messenger does an act of acquisition, it counts for the one that was riding. However, but not law, but if he didn't tell him to be zocheli, but he told him, tonali, give it to me, v'notla, and then the person picked it up, the one on the ground picked it up, v'omar, and he said, ani zochisiba, I am meriting this for myself. Although he was instructed to give it to the one on the animal, nobody owns this object, it was a lost object. Now that it has been pointed out to him, he picks it up and he says, it's mine. Zocha ba hanaitel, the one that picked up the object gains ownership of the object. If he wouldn't have said anything, actually, it still would not belong to the one that instructed him, since Tnali was not a clear instruction. In this case, certainly, he said that I am meriting for myself. This would be sufficient for the one that is walking on the ground to gain control of the object. However, if he picked it up, even with an unclear command, he picked it up and he gave it to the rider. And afterwards he says, Omar, anizachisi tchila. Really, I merited it for myself first. In other words, I gave it to him, but I was just showing him. I didn't say anything. He told me to give it to him. I picked it up, but I had in mind to acquire it for myself. And then I gave it to him later. The law is le'omar klum. His claim is meaningless, because if he wanted to gain control of it for himself, which he was technically allowed to do, he would have kept it. He wouldn't have given it to the one riding on the animal. Since he gave it to him, this shows that his intention was to be a messenger, a representative, and to give it to the one riding on the animal. Halacha Gimel. Hamagbi emetziel chaverei. One that picks up a lost object for his friend, kona chaverei. His friend automatically gains control over it. Even though he didn't say anything to him. Who is the he and the him? Let's say, for example, Reuven picks up an object having in mind to give it to Shimon. Now, Shimon didn't say, as in Halacha Beis, Shimon would tell Reuven, please pick up this object for me. Here, Shimon said nothing to Reuven. Reuven picked it up of his own accord and had in mind to give it to Reuven. So, Apo Pishalei Omar Klum is going on Shimon. Shimon didn't instruct Reuven to pick it up. And how do we know that Reuben was picking it up for his friend? There's a machlekes hapoiskim, whether he must say that I am picking it up for Shimon, or if it's enough if he just thinks he's picking it up for Shimon. Whatever the case may be, if he picks it up for his friend, automatically it belongs to his friend, it belongs to Shimon. Although Shimon said nothing, since he had in mind that he was acquiring it for Shimon, his thought, or his speech, according to which Pesach, according to Shach or the Sma, this thought or act of speech is sufficient, and it belongs to Shimon.
Let's say two people pick up a lost object simultaneously.
Both of them gain possession over the object. And as the Gemara explains it, it comes out as follows. Let's say there is a large object with two ends, and Reuben picks up one end, and he cannot lift up the whole thing, and Shimon picks up the other end. Now, Reuven, when he picks up his end alone, he does not acquire the whole object, only this which he is able to pick up. And so, to Shimon, he can only acquire this end which he is capable of picking up. Since they both pick it up simultaneously, we imagine as follows. Reuven doesn't mind that Shimon gets the other half. He will get half, and Shimon will get half. Therefore, when Reuven picks up, he is really picking up the object for himself and for Shimon. And so too, when Shimon picks up the object, he picks it up for himself and for Reuven. So therefore, each one is, as we mentioned at the beginning of the halacha, being mezake, is meriting the other party as well. Therefore, it is as if both of them are simultaneously acquiring the object as partners, and later on they will split the object between them. And this is the explanation why Kano Shnehem, and why the second half of the halacha is connected with the first, because the reasoning behind this halacha is not just since they both grab it together, we split it down the middle. Each one has in mind the other one when he picks it up, and therefore both of them acquire the object completely, but as partners, and therefore they split it up. This will also help us understand halacha dalet. Let's say, instead of telling someone else to pick up for you, that you, the one that picks it up, instead of being a regular person, is a cheresh, a person who was born deaf and dumb, or a sheita, a person who is insane, not mentally sound, or a katan, somebody under age.
any of these categories, leikon ha-pikeach, the pikeach, the person that is of normal intelligence and is over the age of bar bas mitzvah, he does not acquire this object. Lafisha ein lahen das, because any of these three categories do not have sufficient intelligence or mental ability in order to act as his representative. They are invalid for such an act, and therefore, even though he has told them to do something and they do it, their act of picking up the object is not a valid act of acquisition for him. Of course, should one of them bring the object to him and then he picks it up himself, he will acquire the object. But until then, they are an invalid representative. Let's say, higbia cheresh upikeach ke'echad. One person who is deaf and dumb, an invalid person to acquire an object, and a pikeach, a normal person, both pick up the object simultaneously. Now, what would be if both of them were normal? We mentioned at the end of the last halacha, halacha gimel, that both of them split the object. But why is it they both split the object? Because each one has in mind not only his half, but the half of the other person. So in this case, the normal person would have in mind to get it for himself and for the other person, the cheresh, as equal partners. And we would assume that the cheresh would have for himself and for the pikeach, the normal person. However, over here we have a problem. As we mentioned at the beginning of the halacha, the cheresh ein beidas, does not have sufficient intelligence for his act of acquisition to be valid. So what happens over here is the cheresh able to give over legally his part of the object to the normal person? No, he is unable to do so. Therefore, the part which the cheresh picked up for the pikeach is invalid because he cannot perform an act of acquisition. And in return, the pikeach is only picking up for the cheresh. The pikeach would be able to give something to the cheresh. However, he is only doing so since he is also getting half, since they are going in as partners. And if he's not going to get anything, the pikeach, he does not want the cheresh to get anything either. He is only cooperating and thinking like this since they're both equal partners and going to share. And therefore, miteich shalakana pikeach lakana cheresh. Since the pikeach, the normal person, does not get acquisition, also the cheresh does not get any act, does not get any share. Because the reason the pikeach doesn't get it is because the cheresh, the person that's deaf and dumb, is invalid to transfer this from an ownerless object to give it over to the pikeach. If so, the pikeach does not agree to the partnership. There is no partnership. There's only one party. Therefore, he will not want the cheresh to have a part either, and the whole partnership falls apart, and therefore nobody gets it. Therefore, if someone else came along, they could grab the object away from them. Let's say hayushneim cheresim. Let's say both of them were deaf and dumb. Both of them were invalid. Kanushneim, says the Rambam. Both of them get equal control over the object. Why should there be such a thing? We just finished saying that even if one of them was a pikeach, neither one gets possession because a cheresh is impossible of performing an act of acquisition. So the Rambam answers, this is Tiknu Lehem Chachamim. You're right, the law doesn't make sense over here. But our sages decreed that in such a case they should gain equal control. Tiknu Lehem Chachamim Sheyiknu. They established that both of them should get equal acquisition over the object. Kadesh Leyovei Leinotzeis. In order that there shouldn't be fights and disagreement. When someone else later comes and grabs the object away from them, they are not going to understand that they have no right to the object. Whereas if one person is the pikeach, since they will see that the normal person, the pikeach, is not objecting, then they also will not object. And therefore, our sages did not have to make such an enactment. But if both of them are cheresim, they enacted that they should be able to keep the object, even though technically neither one is capable of performing an act of acquisition. When an animal is lost, as we will see in the next halacha, there are two ways in which one can gain possession over the animal. One could gain control of the animal by leading it, that if you lead the animal in a certain direction and the animal follows, automatically it comes within your possession. And another way of doing it is by mashicha, by literally pulling the animal. This would also work. However, there is a difference as far as what sort of animal is being dealt with here. Specifically in this case, a camel as opposed to a donkey. A camel usually will not follow, and therefore usually you acquire a camel by pulling it. Whereas a donkey, a mule, will follow anyway. One could either pull it or lead the animal. And this will have the following implications when two people are trying to acquire this lost animal. Halacha hei. Shnayim shera gamala chamer shemetzia. Two people simultaneously saw a camel or a donkey which was lost. But kadmushneim, and this was a case where one would be allowed for whatever reason, as we see in the previous chapters, one would be allowed to acquire this lost animal for oneself. The kadmushneim, both of them went to the animal, v'hinigu o mishachu. They led the animal both together, or both of them pulled the animal. Or another alternative, oishahaya echad manhig ve'echad meshech. One of them led the animal, and the other one pulled the animal. The law is kanushneim. Both of them gained control over the object, since they had equal share, either in the meshicha or the hanhaga, or one did each act. However, b'med varim amurim, when does this apply that the last case, that one of them is leading and one of them is pulling, also will gain acquisition for both of them, the chamer, when it comes to a donkey? That even though a donkey is normally led, nevertheless, sometimes one would pull a donkey as well. Aval begamel, but when we're speaking of a camel, im hoya echad manik ve'echad meishech, if one person was leading the camel and the other pulling the camel, hameishech kana aval loy hamanik, the one that is pulling the camel gains exclusive acquisition rights, but not the one that is leading. That when it comes to a camel normally won't follow, and therefore the person that is merely leading and not doing the work of pulling the camel does not acquire the animal.
Halacha vav. Behemas metzia. A found animal. Shekodem echad va'achad b'maseira. And somebody came and grabbed it by its reins, the rope which is used to hold on to the animal. However, he did not pull the animal or lead it. Leikana ad sheyim sheikha yanig. He does not obtain the animal until he pulls the animal or leads the animal on his way. Just grabbing the rope and picking up the rope itself does not acquire the animal for him. V'keim b'nichse ager, and so too in the possessions of a convert. The law is, in general, a person's possessions are inherited by his family, as the Rambam explains in detail in Hilchas Nachlis. And so too, a ger, a convert to Judaism, whatever family members he has, also would inherit him. However, if he has no relatives, then who would inherit his estate? The law is that his objects are hefker, are considered ownerless, and they're just like a lost object that anyone can grab and thereby acquire. So too, if a ger should die and leave an animal, a person that just picks up the rope of this animal would not acquire it, as we mentioned at the beginning of the halacha. Aval kana hameseira lavada. However, he does acquire the rope itself. Since he picked up the rope he does acquire. There is an animal attached to the end of this rope, but since he did not move the animal, he does not acquire it, only the rope. Halacha zayin, hoya echad reichi ve'echad eichis b'maseira. Let's say one person is riding the animal, and another person picks up the rope. One person jumped on top, and the other one grabbed the rope. Hareichiv kana ha-behema. The one that's riding on top, he acquires the animal. V'hameseira sha'alechi ha-behema bilvad. And the part of the rope, the part of the reins, which is on the cheeks, attached to the mouth of the animal. Only that part of the rope. V'zesha eiches ha-meseira, the one that's holding the rope, meaning the other end of the rope, kana mimena masha achas biyode. He acquires this part of the rope that he is holding in his hand. V'shara meseira leikonohu echad mehen. And the rest of the rope in the middle, neither one gains possession of. The one that's holding the rope on the end away from the animal acquires this that he's holding in his hand. The one that's riding on top of the animal acquires the part of the rope which is attached to the animal, to his cheeks. And this in the middle is not acquired by either one. If we examine now halacha vav, the Rambam said that the one that holds the rope when no one is riding on top acquires only the rope. The question is, what is he speaking about? The whole rope or only the part which he is holding in his hand? This is a question of discussion. Some try to differentiate between the two cases and say that in halacha vav he would acquire the entire rope, whereas others say that it just, that both cases are identical, and he would only acquire the part of the rope holding in his hand. The Rambam now deals with other means of acquisition when the object does not actually come into his hands, and not even to his representative's hands. There are two ways in which this can be accomplished. Kinyan chotzer, by his courtyard, his property, or dalet ames, 6 foot, approximately 6 feet, in area surrounding the person. Halacha ches. Chatzera shel adam kainalei shalei midaitei. A person's property can acquire a lost object for him even if he is unaware that the object has come into his property. Vimnafla ba mitzia. And if a lost object falls into this property, harehi shel bal hachatzer, it automatically belongs to the one that owns this courtyard or this property. And another person is forbidden from coming to take this object. However, when does this apply? That automatically, even if he doesn't know an object was left there, that the owner of the field or the courtyard acquires the object. In a courtyard which is guarded, it is surrounded by a fence or something of the sort. Then when a lost object would fall in, the owner of the courtyard would expect that it would remain there, since no one can come into this field or this courtyard without his permission. But if it's an open field or a garden or something similar which is open, then he needs two conditions in order to acquire the object. First of all, if he is standing on the side of his field, he is standing there at the time. And second of all, that my field will acquire anything which comes into it, then he gains ownership of this object. When he has both factors, even though the courtyard is not guarded, there is no fence, he first of all is standing there, and second of all, he was specifically saying that he wants his field to acquire these objects for him. But if he is lacking one of the two, either he is not standing on the side of the field, or even if he was standing there but did not say that he wants the field to acquire objects for him, then he does not gain acquisition. And call akedim zocha, whoever grabs the object first gains ownership of it. And just like we have this law by a chotzer or by a person's property, so too the four amis of a person, approximately 6 feet, his immediate proximity, where he is standing, they also will acquire lost objects for him. And if the lost object comes within four amis of his position, of his location, then he gains control, ownership of this object as well. And in the case of Arba Amis, he doesn't even have to say Zachseli Arba Amis. He doesn't have to explicitly state that he wants to acquire the objects with this immediate area around him. Since it is within 6 feet, he can simply reach there and grab it. Therefore, it is a stronger form of acquisition, and he does not even have to make such a statement. However, where do we learn out this idea of Arba Amis? Halacha tes. Chachamim tiknu davar zeh. Our sages established this idea of Dalet Amis, that four Amis should acquire for a person, kadei shalayarivu hameitzin zeh im zeh, in order that people who simultaneously find an object should not come to argue with each other. That if one person is within four Amis of the object, then immediately he will acquire the object. However, now the Rambam will differentiate between some places where Kinyan Dalet Amis is effective and other places where it is not effective. And even if the object comes within the four Amma area of the person, it is an invalid form of acquisition. When then do we say that this idea of Dalet Amis is a valid acquisition? Besitma, either in a sitma, a corner which is somewhere on the side, in proximity to a public domain, a public thoroughfare, or else on the sides of this public thoroughfare, that many people are not pushing there. Because since this is on the side, every person has his own Dalet Amis. Everyone has their own space. It's not that people are pushed together. They're so close that even if you say that their Dalet Amis will acquire objects for them, they could still argue, because the Dalet Amis of one is infringing on the Dalet Amis of another. So they'll fight about that instead of about the object. Oy, where else do we say it is effective? Besod the Sha'ein Lo Bailim, in a field which has no owner.
But someone who is standing in a public thoroughfare, or he is standing in someone else's field, his four amas will not be a valid form of acquisition for him. He will not acquire something in one of these two places, either Rashus Arabim or Stei Chaveirei, until the lost object actually reaches him in his hand. The reasoning again, in the Rashus Arabim there are so many people that there is no room for their own four amas, and therefore it's not going to help to avoid arguments between one another, which is not the case on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, or in a corner right off the Rishus HaRabim, where there are not so many people. They will not come to argue if four amas acquires for a person. And so too, B'stei Chaveirei, in someone else's field, our sages did not remove his ownership of the field in order that someone else should be able to acquire an object there. Just because he's standing in someone else's field, his immediate area belongs to him, it's still somebody else's field. Therefore, our sages in these cases did not establish Kinyan Dalet Amis. In the next halacha, the Rambam examines the source and the background of this whole idea of kinyan chatzer. Who says that a courtyard of someone can acquire an object for them? Why do we not say that only if he picks it up in his hand it will acquire it, and a chatzer not? And there are two different reasons that are given, one for a man and one for a woman. When it comes to a man, we say that just like he could appoint a shliach, a representative or proxy, to acquire something for him, so too his field is just like his representative. Just like he could appoint a person, so too he could appoint, so to speak, this field to acquire for him. However, by a woman there is an extra lesson we have, an even more clear indication that a field or her courtyard can acquire an object for her. And this is from the law of a get. The law is, by a Jewish divorce, a get, that a woman must receive it in her hand, v'nosen b'yoda, put it in her hand. However, the Talmud tells us, when it says her hand, it clearly indicates not only her hand, but even her chotzer, even her courtyard. And therefore, the law is that if you cannot put it in her hand, you can deliver the get to her courtyard, and this automatically will acquire it for her. This, of course, is before the Chedim de Rabbeinu Gershom, where one must have one's wife's permission in order to divorce her. It must not be against her will. But as far as the law of Gittin itself is concerned, one must not put it in her hand. One could even put it in her courtyard, since it says v'nosam b'yoda, which comes to include, in any case, it comes into her hand, including her courtyard. And according to this, we see there will be a difference between a male child and a female child. By a male child, he is incapable of appointing a shliach. He does not have the sufficient level of responsibility to make a representative for himself. And therefore, since the field is just like the representative, it is an invalid form of acquisition. Whereas a girl, a minor girl, was also capable of getting married and also capable of receiving a divorce. And since we learn the laws of divorce apply also to a girl who is underage, as far as she is concerned, a chatzar is just the same as any other cases when she would get a get. And therefore, since her chatzar is good for a get, even though she's underage, so too will acquire anything else for her. Halacha Yud. Now the Rambam will say this clearly. Ketane yesh lachatzer v'yesh la'arba ames. As far as a child is concerned, a female child, the chatzer, the courtyard, is a valid form of acquisition for her, and so too her dalet ames, her immediate vicinity. But katan, however, a male child, ein lechatzer v'ein le'arba ames. His courtyard is invalid, and so too his immediate vicinity is invalid. Why? Mipnei shechatzer shel ketana miyada lemadnua. The fact that a courtyard of a girl acquires something for her, we learn from the pasuk which says yada, the nasim biyada, give it into her hand, and that's where we learn it from, that you can give it not only into her hand but even into her courtyard. Shekeshem miskareshes beget hamagi liyada, just as she can be divorced with a get which reaches her hand, kach miskareshes beget hamagi lachatzera, so too she can be divorced with a get which reaches her chatzer. And now we derive from there further. Since we now know that her courtyard is good for a get, ukashem sheyesh la chatzer leinyan a get, kach yesh la leinyan metzia. Just as her chatzer is valid as far as a get is concerned, so too it is valid as far as a lost object. And her courtyard will acquire for her a lost object as well. And further, that the immediate vicinity, the four amis of a person, is considered to be identical to his courtyard, or in this case, her courtyard, as far as a lost object is concerned. So since we know that a get is good in a chatzir, therefore a metziah is good in a chatzir, and therefore a metziah is also good in dalet amis. However, this is all by a girl, since we learn out her law of chatzir from a get. Aval ha'ish, but how do we know that by a man? His chatzir is kaina. Lamadnu shechatzir ha'kaina le mishluchai. We learn out that his courtyard also can acquire for him from the law of his representative, his messenger. Just as he can appoint a representative, a shliach, to acquire something for him, so too his courtyard can acquire something for him. However, since a male minor, cannot appoint a shliach, kach ein chatzere. So too, his chatzir, v'loi arba amish, v'loi kainin lei. Neither this chatzir, his courtyard, nor his four amis, his immediate vicinity, can acquire an object for him, asher tegiyim metziyah liyodei, until the lost object actually reaches him in his hand.
In Halacha Ches, when we originally introduced the idea of chatzir shalodim kainulei, we said that this only applies in a chatzir hamishtameres, when it is guarded and protected in order that no one else would normally come to take the object. But if it was not a chatzir mishtameres, we needed two conditions, that the owner had to be standing on the side of the field, and also had to be explicitly declaring, Zoch Sali Sodi, that my field is acquiring this for me. In the following halacha, we will discuss another similar case, but in this case, even these two conditions, standing there and making the statement, will still not be enough to really make it a chatzir mishtameres, and we will need a third condition. Halacha Yud Aleph. Someone that saw other people running in order to claim a lost object. And what is this lost object? It is an injured deer. Or small birds who are not flying away. Both of which can be caught with great difficulty. If it would be birds that could fly away, or a deer which was not injured, certainly he would be unable to catch them. But in this case, it is an injured deer, so it is possible with difficulty to catch them. And so too, the birds, it is possible. So, imo ya'omid b'tzad sodehu, shehem b'secho. If he is standing on the side of his field, that they are within, v'ilu hoyerotz, hoyeman magiyam, and if he ran after them, he would be able to reach them. They would not be able to escape. V'omar, and a third condition, he says, zachsali sadi, that my field acquires them for me. If these three conditions are fulfilled, that he is standing there, he would be able to reach them, and he makes an explicit statement, then zachsali sadi, who his field does acquire the deer or the birds for him. However, if he is unable to reach the birds or the injured deer, it is exactly like a deer which is running normally, like birds which fly, that are capable of flying. His declaration that the field should acquire them for him is worthless. He can't catch this deer or these birds, so therefore why should his field be considered a chatzir mishtameres? In Halacha Ches we said that since the object is sitting there, as long as he's standing there, and he makes a declaration that his field will acquire the objects, this is sufficient for him to acquire the lost object. But over here, he's not going to be able to get it anyway, because the birds are going to fly away, or the deer's going to run. And therefore, his statement is invalid over here. We need the third condition, that if he chased after them, he would be able to reach them. And therefore, whoever is able to catch this deer, this injured deer, or these birds incapable of flying, merits and gains control over them and acquisition. And now the Rambam will compare this with the law of matana, the law of a gift. There is an intrinsic difference between a lost object and if somebody gives you a gift. Let's say somebody gives you a gift, and then changes their mind, says, I changed my mind and I want to take it back. If, as long as they gave it, and this transaction was completed, they cannot change their mind. The question is, when is the matana effective? When does it actually become a gift? And there is an intrinsic difference between this case and the case of a found object. In the case of a lost and found object,
The only one who wants to acquire this object is the finder. The owner is completely uninvolved. Whereas in a gift, you have two people trying to make this transaction. And this is known as the principle of Das Acheres Makne, that we have another opinion, another person who is trying to transfer ownership of the object. First of all, we have the one who wants to receive the gift, and second of all, we have the owner who wants to give the gift. He is the Das Acheres. He is the other opinion who is trying to transform and change the ownership of the object. And therefore, since we have his intention as well, it is easier to transfer ownership. And therefore, if this deer or these birds have been given to him as a gift, since someone else gave them to him and is trying to give it over into their possession, his possession, and now they, meaning the birds, are walking around, rolling around in his field, his field is capable of acquiring these birds for him. Since we have the Das Acheres, it is better than the first case of a Metzia. However, but if it was a deer running at regular speed, and birds capable of flying away, nevertheless, his field does not acquire this deer or these birds for him, even though we have Das Acheres, it is still insufficient. Halacha Yud Beis. Metzias Cheres Sheitev Akotin, an object which is found by a person born deaf and dumb, or a person mentally deficient, or a child, yesh ba gezel, so one that takes it from them, is transgressing a rabbinic form of theft, mipnei darke shalom. And this was established by our sages in order to make for peaceful relations. Although legally, these three categories of people have no right to the lost object, since as we discussed earlier in this chapter, in Halacha Dalit, they have the Ein Bahem Das, they do not have the mental capability sufficiently according to the Halacha in order to acquire an object. Nevertheless, our sages enacted that even though they have no legal right to the object, and anyone would legally be allowed to steal it from them, it's not technically stealing since they never attained ownership of it. Nevertheless, our sages established in order to keep peaceful relationships that nobody should take the object from any of these three categories, cheresh, sheita, v'katan. After all, the relatives of the katan, or the sheita, the cheresh, would get in a big fight and everybody would complain. So in order to make peace, our sages enacted that one should not be able to take it from them. However, since legally it is still technically a lost object, we have some implications. Lefichach, im over acher, ugoz lemiyodam. If another person transgressed this rabbinic law, that one is not allowed to take them, and he did steal it from them, you cannot take the object back from him by going to the judges and going to court. Because how could you go to court and say, give the object back to this chereshet of or a cotton? After all, legally, it was technically still a lost object. What did he do? They didn't legally acquire it technically. It still is a lost object. He took it from them, but he really took it from nobody. It was still lost. Our sages said it belongs to them, but it's technically still, how could you take it away from him? Because legally, according to Torah law, it belongs to him. He took it. It was not yet acquired, since they don't have any das, and therefore you cannot take it away from him in court. And so too, if he denied having taken the object and he made an oath that he did not do so, he would not have to pay a chaimish, he would not have to pay the additional fifth. That the law is regarding a stolen object. If somebody swears falsely that he took it, he must not only give back the amount of the object itself, but add on 25%, which is one-fifth of the total amount. However, this is only when he was technically required to give it back. If he told a lie about something that he wasn't even required to return, he doesn't have to pay the chaimish the extra 25% either. In other words, the penalty of chaimish is not simply for making a false oath. It is secondary to paying back the amount itself. And although he made a false oath that he did not take it, he is not required to pay the chaimish, since he is not required to pay back the keren, the main amount of the object itself. The final halacha of the perek will deal with various members or employees of a person's family, which of them, when they find an object, does it belong to them? And which of them belongs, when they find the object belongs to the man of the house?
Halacha Yud Gimel. Metzias b'nei ubite hasmuchim al shulchonei. An object found by a person's son or daughter who are supported by him. Literally, they're leaning on his table. In other words, he pays for their food and he supports them. Afo pishahim gedalim. The first that Rambam is listing all of those that when they find an object, it belongs to the head of the household. So the son and daughter who find an object, even though they are afo pishahim gedalim, even though they are grown up, but nevertheless they are supported by their father, and so too metzias bita hanaira, and so too an object found by his daughter when she's a naira, she is already over 12 years in one day. Even though she is no longer being supported by him, and even if she was sold as an ama ivriya, as a female maidservant, in other words, she now has a master that she is working for. And so too, metzias avdei v'shefchoso aknanim, a person's non-Jewish servant, whether male or female, umetzias ishtei, something his wife finds, hare elu shalei, all of them belong to the head of the household. And as the Gemara and Rishonim give the reasons here, that if he is supporting them, certainly he deserves, he is paying for them, and therefore if they will keep lost objects for themselves, it will develop hate, there will be a development of hatred between them. He pays for their food, they should give him any lost objects. And when it comes to a girl, even if he's not paying for her, nevertheless, the metziah belongs to the father. Even if she is sold as an amma. And the reason given, the various reasons given, but that given by Tesvis, is that if he will see that she does not give any lost objects to him, since he still has the right to pick out a husband for her, he will pick out an unfit husband for her in order to punish her. So rather than risk harming of relations between them, our sages established that anything she finds should belong to her father. And when it comes to a non-Jewish slave, the Gemara says, "Kol shekana eved kaina rabbi." Anything which the slave acquires, he automatically acquires it for his master. And when it comes to his wife, this is an order that there should be an avoidance of argument between them, since he is again paying for her food and supporting her. Therefore, in order that they should not come to argue about these lost objects, our sages established that it should go to the husband. But if a son who is not being supported by his father, if his son finds an object, and even though he is still a katan, or the object found by a male or female Jewish servant, and the found object of a woman who is partially divorced, partially not. We'll soon explain what this is. The found object does not belong to him, but belongs to whoever has found it. In the case of a young boy who is not being supported by his father, since he is not being supported by his father doesn't deserve to have the lost object. As the halacha is, after the age of 6, the father is not technically required to feed the children. Although, should he refuse to do so, the Jewish court tries to intimidate him and force him and insult him and say that he's even worse than a bird which feeds its children. But in any case, if he is not doing so, the son has no reason to give it to the father. A young girl nevertheless would have a reason to do so to make sure her father doesn't betroth her to someone she doesn't want, but a son not. And when it comes to a male servant, a Jewish servant, male or female, they have their own existence. They are not automatically subservient completely to their master, and therefore any lost object belongs to them. And the idea of Mugareshes, Veinu Mugareshes, partly divorced, would be a case, for example, where the man threw the get at his wife, and it was a doubt whether it was closer to her or closer to him. If it's closer to him, she's not divorced. If it was closer to her, she is divorced. If we're not sure, she's suffering Mugareshes, otherwise known as divorced and not divorced. He is required to give her food. However, on the other hand, we don't have to worry about them hating each other over here in order to give the lost object to him. They are already not living with each other. She is possibly divorced from him. Therefore, there is no reason to say the lost object belongs to the husband. It therefore belongs to the wife.